Welcome, Chasleen, to Execu Peaks.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Chasleen, do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
Oh, well, I would say for sure I have my spiritual practice that I have. So it's just this mantra, this chant that my soul family shared with me. And it just helps me get grounded. When I don't do it, I can tell for sure. And also languages has been a big part of my healing practice. So I have what I call conversations with God morning. So I would just be having conversations when I'm burning and smudging in my room, and I'm just being very self-reflective and sharing a lot of intimate thoughts out loud. And my languages are a big part of that ecosystem, keeping me grounded as well. So that's my favorite part of my morning, to be honest. And after that, it's a bit fluid. I would do some journaling. I also got into buying this set of cards where it asks you very deep and intimate questions about yourself, what and or a partner. So that's my best way to wake up and feel human in the morning.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
I mean, there's so many things, but I feel it goes back to intuition. I noticed that, the best opportunities I've ever missed were when I was being performative, but I wasn't being intuitive. And in the same way that when I would be on a client call or, doing some type of engagement, that little voice inside of me, the minute I would listen to it fully, that's when I would build exponential projects. So I feel intuition definitely leaning into that. And for me to not get caught up into the aesthetics of su success for others, but to allow myself to have an organic way to embody success on my own terms. So my intuition, I feel it's my secret sauce for success, and it translates into so many different things, the company, but other things as well.
Wonderful. You are also a DEI expert. How would you define that to someone who does not know what it is?
So the acronym stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the way that I see it specifically is known as that you're building in your organization. Diversity, equity, inclusion helps you accelerate that goal using unsuspected strategies. So the idea is that, we live in organizations and we live through systems, right? So when you come to work, you have compliance, you have procedures, and you have protocols. Just because we have a systems is not the most effective way to do things, but it's a naturally expected course of action. So for me, EDI is a way to be innovative and to look to gaps and blind spots that you cannot see yourself because of your role. And especially when you are a corporate leader, is to look at what is costing you money and what are ways for you to make impact and profit with integrity. So if you are purpose driven and sometimes you feel stuck in your role, or you feel like, I don't know how to make a difference with what I do, but it's very dear to me, EDI is a beautiful way to do it. And because of my approach that's more innovative, I find ways to make that a very organic transition for you. But ultimately, if you don't know what it is, I would say it's to learn how to make money and make a difference in the world without sacrificing, your integrity for profits. So that's how I would frame it.
And what is one misconception about the DEI space?
There's so many, but I would say one of the ones that I hear most frequently is people feeling like, if you are purpose driven, you have a plateau to the level of profits and impact that you can make. And part of it is because not everybody sees a lot of successful, viable references of people who implement EDI strategies that do accelerate, let's say their profit or impact and maximize their bottom line, right? So then they associate with it, well, I'm here to make money and I don't really see how that correlates with making a difference. So there's also that mentality, and that's a big misconception. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that EDI initiatives and training typically does not include sales and does not focus on income producing activities. So it just feeds this narrative, but it's not the best representation of what EDI does actually when it's done right.
What do you think would probably be something that would surprise most people about you?
I guess a couple of things. Well, my love for languages. So the fact that, at home with the family and everything, like we speak five different languages between ourselves, and I've learned a couple more. And in this regard, it's just the assumption that you need to have a special language genes to do it, and that a lot of people disqualify and dismiss themselves because they feel like, you know, the strategies they've used were ineffectual. So then they translate the blame onto themselves and feeling inadequate. So that's definitely something that, you know, people don't necessarily expect or are just curious about when they hear about it.
Just, you did touch upon it, but what is your life mantra?
Make a difference in the world by really being a leader of impact and being one of the people that proved the paradigm wrong that you have to choose between, you know, being of service or, you know, building, creating wealth for yourself. I would say that's very dear to me. Yeah.
What have you found to be the best way of addressing rejection in your path?
I would say I do have different strategies based on what the circumstances call for. But first and foremost is to put things into perspective. I also have these things, depending on how much this is dear to me, I look at no as a yes in training. So building my resiliency to look into, well, there's been a miscommunication here. So when you truly understand the needs and the priorities of the person who's in the other side of the no, then you are putting yourself in a better position to negotiate your way into a yes. So what is the thing that I missed for sure, as opposed to thinking that no is definitive, unequivocal, and unchangeable. And also the other thing is to balance it out against all the other experiences that I've had so far where I got all the yeses I needed in unsuspected ways, and then to translate that knowledge back into my current circumstances. So what can I learn from those things that have happened where I thought that I was not going to get it and I got that yes? So what can I infer from this and then remotivate myself to commit to changing that no into a possible yes?
Thank you for sharing. That aligns with what I was taught in business. No does not mean never.
Exactly. Totally.
What is the most important decision you've made in your entrepreneurial life?
I feel for me, well, there were a couple of things, but at this one is truly owning my full self and my full identity. For a long time, because I would be in corporate rooms where I would be a multiple minority, like the only fill in the blanks, it did something to my psyche in terms of, well, do I need to compromise to access privilege in those rooms? And I've been part of this beautiful mastermind community, and we're working and talking and healing around this. But I realized that everything that makes me irrevocably me is the best way to competitively sell my positioning as everything that I am. And so I don't need to choose or compromise to elevate myself or my business. And it's been a very healing journey for me to be able to reconnect with my roots and reclaim my ancestry and to feel like this is added value to the work that I do. And it also helps me stay congruent with what I teach and what I coach my clients on by re-embodying this myself every day.
Very beautiful. I love how you use the powerful word healing.
Yeah, no, healing is just, I feel, is the cornerstone in everything that I do, be it in business or in my personal life. Like, it's very strongly correlated, and it helps me be like a more embodied leader. The fact that the way that I parent, the way that I teach, the way that I coach, the way that I do business is all part of the same healing experience. And that's why I find that you are able to create transformation for your clients when it's not just the professional or the strategy that you're looking at, but it's holistically. How do we impact culture? How do we change leadership? How do we empower people in their different roles?
How do you work through your fears in life?
Oh, well, I have a great support system, like my inner circle and my chosen and soul family. But for one, we amongst us, we talk a lot about how fear is a good GPS for potential that's about to be tapped into and actualized. And so when I get, you know, when I get afraid, it's a good opportunity to get curious at the same time as to me probably meeting what I thought was the edge of my thinking, but it's in the end of my capabilities, but it's the edge of my potential. Then investigating what that means. Is it because I'm about to step into a new tier, a new plateau, a new cap of development for myself? And also remembering, you know, who do I want to become and how am I showing as that in that moment, in that space? And I know people talk about fake it till you make it, but I heard faith it till you make it, which is more attuned for me. So whenever I have fear, it's an opportunity for me to have more faith, even if it's just 1%, and also to get extremely curious because there's a resistance there. There's a narrative that my fear is trying to protect, and me choosing to act notwithstanding all of that energy is a beautiful way to choose to become more of myself.
Do you have any hidden talent?
Well, I guess a couple of things. What was it again? Oh yeah, I used to be a violinist and do competitions. So that's something that I love. Haven't done it in a while, but it's definitely something I want to recommit to. And definitely the language learning, dancing. I used to do dance performances and choreography as well. So a lot of things that are artistic, definitely writing. So a lot of spoken word and poetry. That's something that I adore. Don't do it as much these days, but again, it's on the agenda. Yeah.
How cool. When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
Definitely means I need to get still, because if I get busy, it's a way to get distracted or dizzy. So really to listen to what is misaligned. And sometimes what I would do is to try to rationalize the wrong solution for myself to produce a good argument for the wrong reasons, whereas my heart sees through all of that and holds me accountable to, you know, the ultimate truth in that space. So to look at, am I choosing to use my intelligence to, you know, hyper-rationalize the wrong outcome? And so just listen again to what am I afraid of and what kind of stance am I taking in regards to the fear? Because the fear is not a problem, but if I'm acting as a fear-based or fear-driven individual, that's when misalignment typically tends to occur. So to take that moment, that step back, and again, I have my beautiful support system sometimes to have conversation around it to reinforce accountability. And then every other day through my spiritual practice, my smudging and those other things to re-energize myself, you know, and then to act out of that place of stillness and to say, I'm afraid and I'm doing it. Like, fear is not an indication of what I do or how I do it or if I do it.
To survive and thrive, we must eat. Do you have a favorite comfort food?
Oh, favorite comfort food. Well, I definitely love soups and chili con carne. So, you know, something that's very hot, or just traditional Haitian foods that my mom, you know, would make growing up. So that also is very comforting to me.
Do you have any pet peeves?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a hard time having conversations that are trivial. and sometimes, you know, I have to be aware of that, but yeah, but I just want to exchange good energy and substance. So I can't talk gossip about other people. I don't like, you know, people that just stay in complain mode. I feel there's a time and a space for it, but I get excited about the solution. I get excited about what's on the other side of that. So I don't have a lot of patience or stamina on purpose for, you know, what I call like trivial conversations. Yeah.
I feel better. I'm not alone. Please finish this sentence. Success is?
Success is, say, choosing to be yourself, even when the system presents it as the most inconvenient outcome.
What is the best career decision that you have made?
I think was honestly just to get very curious, because I used to work in different corporate roles, and I had this lone voice that I didn't know at the time that my answer would be entrepreneurship, but I felt restless where I was. And I started just by getting curious about what was happening around me. And on my way to work, there was this new building that was being developed, and they were looking for speakers. And so that's how things started for me. But curiosity set me free. And if I had just stayed in my conditioning and being very single-minded, I would have missed out on the best part of my life, truly. So I feel curiosity is just such a benevolent spiritual teacher when it comes to choosing yourself and choosing our path. So I feel from there, a lot of other connections and opportunities ensued, but it truly started by the minute I acknowledged that I was discontent with my status quo. Then I looked around and all I could see was different ways for me to create an alternate future for myself.
What is one tip that you can offer to help people become more decisive in life?
I'm thinking of Liz Gilbert and the interview that she had about her partner, Rhea. But I think is when life forces you into a position where, you know, you can no longer hide. So when there's a tragedy or something like that, you become extremely clear about what truly matters. And I feel it's holding myself to that standard of, if all I got to do was X or Z, which one would I lean for towards and why? And then in my day-to-day is to honor clarity through simplicity. because we have so many options that we've bombarded with, but sometimes it becomes the best way to hide and to produce, excuses. So for me, when I have those decisions to make, it just helps me stay very, very clear. If I have to make this as simplistic as it gets to be, what would be the only choice I would make today? And whatever that is, that's what I need to commit to.
How do you ensure you're managing your day and the day isn't managing you?
I find that family and kids are really good for that because they really see that that's not sustainable. Like that's not making sense. And also having people around you that can interrupt what you're planning. Oftentimes the interruptions is the opportunity for healing. Because if I were to have it my way, I might not be very social or even functional in that sense. So when there are instances that I'm, leaning towards overworking, then they just say, hey, let's go for a walk or let's do something else. Or they need something from me like food or a lift. But then it becomes this bonding moment. So for me, those types of interruptions are sacred and they can also save me from myself. So making sure that I create opportunities for them to come into my day. So, they told me to remove my D&D because I've been on D&D too much. So then we have a conversation. I hear about this and it brings so much lightness to something that could have been very heavy. And then just to have moments where, regularly we have standing events or engagements or projects or things we're working on, not necessarily because we have an agenda, but because we're holding space for connection. And that helps balance out my inner equilibrium.
What is your one major strength?
I feel it's definitely creativity and strategizing. So outthinking problems. So I love better the problem, the more expensive my mind gets. And especially to have problems that, creates better futures and solutions where a lot of people have just given up. So that's why I get excited about what I do is, to challenge the definition of EDI, to challenge what healing can look like in corporate settings and how it is not alien to profit making, but it's part of how we make more in terms of money and impact for all.
And as we start to wind down, what is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
Again, I feel it goes back to the stillness piece. So I have different moments in the day where I interrupt myself to look at, does this feel balanced to you? Or am I just heading down like a rabbit hole? And at the end of the day, it's also a good time for me to look at it and then to rectify it if I need to. But it's all about what I'm feeling in my body as opposed to what I'm thinking in my head. So maybe, okay, now that's your cue. You're just going to go for a walk and you'll be by yourself for a minute. Or maybe you need to redo your smudging or sit on your mat and have another spiritual practice. Maybe you need to sit and do some language healing and journaling. But I feel it's those check-in moments with myself that help me stay grounded and not wait till the end of the day to do it. So once that's done, then I'm like, okay, you're good. And typically that can be an opportunity for the kids to come in as well and for us to go do something else. But just checking in with myself and how does that feel in your body and just to take it from there.
And finally, in your words, what do you do and where can people find you?
Yeah. So what I do is, empower purpose-driven corporate leaders who wants to make a difference in the world through what they do by creating amazing EDI initiatives that are highly profitable for their brand, especially in higher education and professional services delivery. And where they can find me is my website and also on LinkedIn. So, my full name, cheslin.com. So C-H-E-S-L-I-N-E. And on LinkedIn, Cheslin Pierre-Paul. So yeah.
Cheslin, thank you for joining us on ExecuPeaks.
Thank you for having me.